Hi everyone, Gary Morris here with your latest podcast here on the Fourth Official. And this evening we've got a very special guest joining us from Ref Support UK as their Chief Executive Officer, Martin Cassidy. Thanks very much for joining us, Martin. It's been a interesting few weeks in terms of the relationships between both players, managers, the media and fans with regards to the kind of referees and linesmen and VAR, and we've certainly got plenty to discuss, but I really appreciate you coming on to our platform and having a bit of a discussion about it tonight.
Absolute pleasure, mate. It's great to be on, Gary. And one of the things I always do on my podcast is, every subject's on the table. I've got no affiliation to the FA or any county FA or the PGNOL or the Scottish Premier League or anywhere. My concept is all about supporting referees and having those discussions openly, which sometimes in social media can be a bit rough, but it gets it discussed. I'd rather have it discussed robustly. Than just not discussed at all, which is why we created Ref Support UK as a voice for referees, as well as an education platform, which we also do.
Yeah, so certainly anyone that's kind of been watching the likes of Sky Sports News or listening to TalkSport over the course of the last kind of few months, but we'll certainly have seen yourself and your charity getting probably a bit more exposure. And I think that's certainly down to obviously some high profile cases that have been happening over the course of the last kind of month or so. When we look at Aleksandar Mitrovic, the Fulham striker, who obviously picked up an 8-game ban for a clash with Chris Kavanagh in the FA Cup quarter final between Fulham and Man United. We saw a similar incident just at the weekend there between Scotland captain Andy Robertson during the Liverpool Arsenal game, where he clashed with the assistant referee at half time, and there seemed to be a bit of a kind of set to on that between himself and Konstantin Hatzidakis. Apologies if I've pronounced that incorrectly, but there certainly seemed to be a bit of kind of heated discussion between those two players at the weekend, and cameras seemed to pick up the linesman kind of raising an elbow in the direction of Andy Robertson at the weekend, which certainly raised Andy Robertson's temper and how that reacted over the course of the kind of half-time break. From your perspective there, Martin, what do you think is down to what certainly seems to be a bit of a kind of ongoing trend at the moment between certainly players and officials, where there seems to be a bit more of this kind of disconnect between both parties at the moment? Certainly we never really used to get this, and that's now two very kind of high profile incidents within the course of about kind of 3 4 weeks.
I think it's been going on for years, to be honest, mate. And as a little bit of information about me, I was born and bred in Anfield. We used to play football in Stanley Park car park under the lights. And I'm a Red. I'm a Red. And I've come up before and had a go at Jurgen Klopp. We were the ones that pushed for Jurgen Klopp to get banned, but he never got a ban recently. Got a bit of stick off my family and friends up in Liverpool. It's happened the same now by Andy Robinson. He was always on an edge, isn't he? Bit of a winds up nations, even though I think he's an incredible player. I just think the way this is shaped up is remarkable to see it happen. And I was watching it. I actually was watching it, and when I looked at it, I just thought, did that just happen? And then obviously they picked up on it. There's never been a clear angle of this, as they let's be honest. It's almost like CCTV coverage, and it's a bit grainy. It's not quite clear, and I really do wish. We had a real clear view of it, and I could really give an honest, opinion. Say, that has happened, but knowing how match officials behave and the way it takes so long to get in the position that Con is, and Con's a FIFA assistant referee as well. I just couldn't imagine him reacting aggressively and meaning to elbow a player in the face. But I think, from our point of view, the reason why we want to get it all discussed and I came up with the idea about this, no exclusion zone, is that it all comes from contact by players with match officials. Right back to Maradona, in the 80s, and you see a lot of South American footballers do it. They put their arms behind the back and they stick the chest out and shove the referee. They usually do it behind the referee's back, shove him in the back, and the referee turns around and goes, "What's going on?" We've always had this sort of level of, you know, acceptance that, you know, we can get in the referee's face. And I don't think that's ever been good for the game, but like you said, we've had an involvement of it, very, very slow evolvement in real terms. But over the bigger picture of time, it's been quite quick because we had Sean Massey with Aguero, just a touch on the shoulder, but still shocks everyone when it happened. Then we had the Fernandez pushing out and running the back. And then we had Mitrovic doing what he did, and now we have this. It just seems to be, you know, how far has it got to go on before, you know, we stop just fining players and fining clubs and hoping that they behave? And I just think the attitude of refs that we're just fair game is, it's just wrong, even on like on the telly on Match of the Day, and they're just having sly dicks, do you know what I mean? And you've even heard them, Martin Tyler, joking, how many times did he mention, oh, an elbow, or we'll give him an elbow, joking about it afterwards. And I just think people realise that desensitisation of this sort of abuse just gets mimicked at grassroots level when we've got 14, 15-year-old referees all over the country. You know, having to deal with people mimicking that behaviour. So it's a problem. It's definitely a problem. And just not addressed it the same way. I've been called an hypocrite many times over this because, you know, they're saying, oh, what's happened to Mitrovic? You know, it was widely recorded that I said, you know, we should get a 182, 181-day ban. But I was only quoting the regulations from the FA when you have contact with a match official. That's the reason I said it. It wasn't me just making it up, thinking, oh, let's do it for 182 days. And I think it's nowhere near it. There was the chairman of the referee, so president of the referee association, who were part funded by the FA or were, and other stakeholders. You know, he said it was like what happens with Cantona going into the you know, the stands that night at Palace. And I just think that's a ridiculous comparison. And it's equally ridiculous to say that this one with Conn is the same as Mitrovic. And I think we just need to get real and understand that. This is all brought about the fact that players get too close and make contact in an aggressive manner. Yeah. But match official, that's what it's all about.
And do you think that Sky have probably made a bit of a rod for their own back? Because you see this every Monday now, that they've got this feature with Dermot Gallagher where they break down every contentious refereeing decision across Scotland, England, so on, and almost like an hour-long show now, and it seems to get quite a lot of traction both on Sky Sports News, but gets a lot of online traffic, gets a lot of hits on social media, and it's almost like, let's have a look at what the referees got wrong this week, and I almost feel it's an attempt to try and crucify them in terms of, well, let's see what went wrong this week, and it creates this sort of narrative that things are always being done incorrectly, and that was part of the reason obviously why VAR got brought in, and I think we've all got our opinions in terms of how well that's working and whether or not it's being massively successful or whether it's actually hindering referees more than it's helping them, but I think Sky have created this sort of narrative by highlighting this on a very high level every week on their television programming.
Yeah, this ref watch thing. See, it's weird, you know, because we're sitting the other side of it, and we're saying he never says anything wrong. That it's only recently, particularly since I was Webcom on board, he's been an absolute breath of fresh air in dealing with these things. It's like, you know, the referees have never done anything wrong, and he's always defending them. And I just think that made it worse. There's even an instance with Dermot Gallagher's in there. Absolutely no one in the studio agrees with him, but he just, you know, says his piece. And what people's got to realise there, and I've noticed this with Dermot, he seems to be far harsher with Scottish officials than he is with the English officials. And the reason that is, I believe, and is because he's paid by the same body of the referees he's critiquing. So there he is. He works for the PGMOL, and the referees on the Premier League are PGMOL. It's the same people. So you're never going to get a real true reflection there. So I've said for a while that I don't think Dermot should be doing what he does. I think if you want someone to analyse referees, after that they're not affiliated or paid by the same body, the people who they're critiquing. And I was really quite surprised. I was majorly, majorly pissed off with Dermot when he sort of insinuated that Adam Nunn was at fault for holding back Bruno Fernandes in front of the cop. He was trying to get hold of Trent Alexander-Arnold. Imagine if he had started a fight there in front of the cop. Do you know what I mean? A Man United player. And I just think what Adam was doing there was trying to stop that happening. And he got a bit of stick and he sort of mitigated that contact of Fernandez's behaviour, which is just ridiculous. And I think, you know, let's have someone else doing those shows that isn't paid by the same body to critique him first of all. But yeah, I'm with you to a certain extent that it's created. I think it's a good idea, you know, Gah. I think having someone go on there and talk about it like it is, I think it's a real step forward. Because that's what we want. We're all saying, let's have referees be accountable. Let's explain a bit more about what they do. But let's do it truly independently. Don't have a referee who's paid by the same body. And I think that would change. And of course, I do pay attention to Scottish football. I can't say I'm an expert in it, but,
yeah,
you know, and I've got no affiliation. I think someone put on Twitter, because my name's Cassidy, the immortal Matty Dawes. You know, I was a Catholic, a Celtic fan, which I think which is one of the problems. Whereas, you know, lots of Liverpool players that's come from Celtic and from Rangers, they're heroes of mine. Steven Gerrard's a manager of Rangers, and Ken Zagreus is a hero from Celtic. So I don't buy any of this affiliation to any particular team in Scotland. But I just recognise the problem that they have. Even the terminology they use, when they're saying the old firm and stuff like this, where people aren't quite fully aware what goes on.
Yeah.
I think was it you or kind of someone mentioned about having professional referees in Scotland, and I can't for the life of me think why they haven't.
Yes, I'm staggered by it, and it's certainly one of the questions that our listeners have posed in terms of, for me, it's been a long going issue with referees up in Scotland. We obviously see them on a week to week basis, and part of the reason, obviously, why we've got you on this week is obviously we're just coming off the back of another Old Firm game at the weekend where Kevin Clancy had a controversial day, I think it is probably the most polite way of saying it. A goal being ruled out for Rangers striker Alfredo Morelos, which a lot of pundits and ex-pros and even ex-referees, Dermot Gallagher for one, basically seemed to kind of go on the side of kind of Rangers' opinion that it was a harsh goal to disallow. It was ruled out by Kevin Clancy, and then Nick Walsh and the VAR room seemed to very quickly side on the side of the referee. And certainly from our side, we certainly had the opinion that Nick Walsh was quite happy to go along with the referee's decision on there because of what happens up in Scotland, where there is a contentious VAR decision or an overturning, that there is almost a bit of a witch hunt that happens. And I even seen that this week with Kevin Clancy, with his details being shared online and being subject to death threats. And that's all stuff that no one really wants to see on that front. But it's not the first time that Kevin Clancy's had that up in Scotland. And what we have in the SPL is that all the referees and the assistant referees are part-time, that they do it as a second job or as a hobby. You've got the leader of the Scottish Conservatives as a linesman that comes in and does a job. And you saw that 4 or 5 weeks ago where there was a very vocal protest against Douglas Ross in Celtic Park with a very large banner that was displayed against him. And there was very little said from the Scottish FA at the time. However, they have been very vocal in their support to Kevin Clancy off the back of this weekend. And I think it's that sort of kind of disconnect that creates problems between what obviously is a very vocal scene up here in Glasgow.
No, I agree. And again, it's a game, I think any super football fan from anywhere in the world would be interested in a Celtic Rangers game or Rangers Celtic game. I think it's an absolute one of the top fixtures in the world, isn't it? And I think it's on everyone's bucket list to go up there and watch one. But, you know, these problems have been happening like back to Hugh Dallas. Remember Hugh Dallas, someone threw a coin, something got a cut head.
99,
I think, yeah. Yeah, so it's not as if, like, this is a new thing. I think what is new, it seems to be, you know, putting someone's details out there and doing what they did with him was just outrageous, wasn't it, really? I think any sane person would just, I'll just square that one off. I just don't get it. But, you know, we've had it, you know, Mark Clattenburg, we've had it with Michael Oliver, we've had it with loads of people where this is happening. And I've said on record that I won't be shocked if someone gets killed in the being a match official. I won't be shocked. It's terrible even to think it, innit? But was anyone bet against that?
Yep, and I think certainly the way things are going, Glasgow is a bit of a goldfish bowl, as you know, Martin, and the way that the Scottish League is, it's only ever going to be Rangers or Celtic that win, which make the Rangers Celtic games probably even greater in terms of the profile and the amount of eyes that are on those games. And I think that's where, when there are some contentious decisions, that then creates obviously a lot of discussion, and a lot of people are obviously very upset. And there is this agenda that some people may have that certain referees in Scotland aren't the most, let's say, objective when it comes to matches involving teams that they may well have an affiliation towards. Now, that's a feeling, and you're going to get that when you've got a level of bias that you're going to have for your own side. But it's a very well-known theme up here that Celtic fans believe that everyone's out to get Celtic, and Rangers fans are believe that everyone's out to get them. And probably the truth is probably a bit in the middle, and that I certainly don't believe that we've got corrupt officials up here in Scotland. What I do think we have is officials in Scotland that aren't necessarily completely up to the standard of the level of the game that we've got up here, and whether that's because they are only part-time or we're maybe not attracting the best level of talent because of the scrutiny and the pressure that people are put under by the media, by the fan bases up here. And people, it's not a job I would want. So maybe that's part of the reason is we're struggling to get a great deal of the talent there. And I think that's where we really wanted VAR to come up in Scotland, to really help our officials to get the decisions correct. Unfortunately, in Scotland, our level of VAR is a bit of a kind of Aldi version that's been kind of tacked on, done on the cheap. It's been introduced halfway through the season, and no one's overly happy with it. Certainly, none of the clubs are, none of the fans are happy with it. And I actually think it's not really helped us at all, because we're still seeing incorrect decisions made almost on a weekly basis now in Scotland.
Yeah, well, let's go back a little bit, mate, on what you've said.
Sure.
Totally agree. SPL, all officials, the linos and the refs should be professional. Absolutely 100%. I can't see why not. But making them professional hasn't stopped them getting stick on the Premier League, has he?
No, not at all. But I think it's going to
That's a
maybe give them a bit more accountability to actually look to try and improve the level of.
Well, will it, mate? Will it? If you think about it, there's loads of levels to this, and it's something I'm interested in other people's opinion on, like yourself and the listeners to this podcast. Even the Championship in England is professional. Don't know if you know that. And what you find is the Select Group One, Select Group Two. Select Group One is the Premier League. Select Group Two is the Championship. And what happens is that there's the you might have some referees come through who've got really good jobs. They could be chief execs of big companies, and they can't afford to go professional because they probably lose money. And then if you go on your passion and you become a professional match official, you could get injured within a couple of weeks, and that's it, you're gone. So I think there's loads of different levels to it, and I think we're, how much you paid them, can you justify it? And then you get thrown in. Oh, but they use it as an excuse. That's your full-time bleeding job, and you can't do it. So I don't think just making them professional will solve the problem, because we've proved that point, haven't we? In England, that it doesn't stop them getting grief, and I say it doesn't stop them making mistakes. I think VAR is was brought in to help the whole game on it, and I think it was there to be a tool to make a referee and match officials more accurate. But now it just seems to be a tool to metaphorically beat them up with. It's that's not what it's for. And I think I couldn't believe that they brought it in. In Scotland, they brought it in after the World Cup, didn't
Yeah.
they? They said, oh, we're gonna, oh, I can't believe why you would do that. I can't get my head around why you would do that, particularly when historically VAR in World Cups and European Championships have was worked a treat, hasn't it? You never seem to be any problems with it. But when it goes into a domestic game, there always seems to be these problems. So I don't know what that disconnect is. And again, listen to other people with not really knowing what happens with refereeing. There's different types of refereeing within the Premier League. There's FIFA referees, there's people who want to be FIFA referees. You get this in Scotland. And you get ex-FIFA referees, and they're all referees differently. They all referee differently. I don't care what anyone says. Do you remember seeing Mike Dean being Mike Dean when he was a FIFA referee? No, he didn't. He wasn't that Mike Dean. When he retired from FIFA, he could basically, there's no real consequences as long as he performs well, he stays on. And then you get these people who are ambitious and they get pushed through the system because there's an age limit on when you can get onto FIFA. Like, you've got to do 2 years at the top flight, pushing these young lads through. So they want to do everything, by the letter of the law. And then you got these people who are actually on FIFA and they referee differently. They must have different coaches, a part of a European program. It's like, I always equate this. Do you know when they say, oh, it took a player a good season to get used to the Premier League? But why? Why? Because they referee differently. And then when they get English players, well, Scottish players, whatever, going over to European competitions, and they're going in with these tackles that they get away with doing, that we just accept in the UK. And they're picking up stupid yellow cards, stupid reds, and they're not there for the latter stages of World Cups and Euro. So it's a much bigger picture here. Is that the Premier League's changing a lot, obviously. But it's still a very different game, and it's a lesser Europe. So you put all that in a pot of like different types of referees, different objectives, really. Some are FIFA, some are off FIFA, some are wannabe FIFA. You're going to have that on Scotland as well. Because it wasn't Douglas Ross a FIFA. Is he still a FIFA lino?
I'm not 100% sure on whether or not he is or he isn't, but certainly until very recently, I know he was still doing the likes of some kind of UEFA type matches. I don't know if he still does them now, given he's promotion up to the kind of top job in kind of Scottish politics, but certainly he did do European games until recently, if he's no longer doing them.
Didn't he get in some trouble because he claimed expenses when he should have been away or whatever, missed a meeting, but yes. Went abroad. Interestingly, I remember tweeting him about getting behind us on various campaigns, didn't hear nothing from him. A high profile match official with political lines. Didn't get involved in any of our campaigns that we've done. We approached them directly and wrote to him, and we actually wrote to him about the body camp pilots, and he was one of the few MPs that didn't reply to us. So maybe there's a message in there. I don't know, but it doesn't warrant the type of abuse he's gotten. I've seen that banner as well. Nothing justifies it, but I can understand people are being irked by people, and also as well, at every level, you do get asked about who you support. And family connections and stuff like that. But it's not foolproof. When I was coming through, ex-player, went through the system quite quickly, got to pro level as a lino within 7 years of taking up the whistle after stopping playing. Bit of a quick rise. But because I live in the West Country, and I'm born and bred in Liverpool, I moved down here 30 odd years ago. All my refereeing career was down here in the South. So they never really equated two and two together, at Wembley, that I was born and bred Scouse, born in Anfield. I get appointed to the FA Youth Cup final, second leg, Liverpool, Man City. So I had to knock it back. But me heart was like, oh my God, look at that, FA Youth Cup, all those players. Michael Richards was playing for Man City, that's how long ago it was. It's your own responsibility and your own sort of like moral fibre not to do that, not to get involved in games like that. And then equally, where do you stop? You have Mike Dean, can do Liverpool games and Everton games. But then people saying, oh, his son's a season ticket holder. Where does he stop? And I think we're always going to have that in game with some of fans. Didn't someone say, oh, I was in school with Clancy and he was dancing season, people were being a Celtic fan. You know, as a kid. Do you know what I mean? You just think, if you want to find something, particularly in football, something as partisan as football, you're going to try and find it, aren't you? I had someone Google Martin Cassidy and came up with this. I attacked somebody, attacked a police officer or ambulance. Completely different Martin Cassidy. I've got loads of legs. It was a completely different Martin Cassidy. So you do get these things out there where people just get et up on trying to prove someone wrong or trying to prove their own point right. And, all that gets mixed up in refereeing, doesn't it, and football in general. But most referees I know, honestly, would never put themselves in a position, particularly at the top. And you've worked all your life to get at the top, and you're going to blow it because you might want to referee, a Celtic game or a Rangers game or a Liverpool game or an Everton game. Well, why would you do that? Just step back and be logical. It just wouldn't do it. You just wouldn't do it, would you? So I think I'll never ever put any credence to that sort of arguments. But sometimes when you see, a lot of errors, particularly against a particular team, people will say it one thing, and I just think it's unfortunate. It doesn't do anything for the game.
Yeah. All right. Want to move on to a couple of kind of questions that we've got from the listeners, and one of them is in relation to what seems to work quite well in other sports, particularly cricket and rugby, where the referees or umpires are hooked up to kind of live mics, and we can kind of hear that. That's never been an option for football. But do you think that A, it would benefit the referees that could go out and explain their decisions, whether it's on a live mic or they get a platform after the game to explain, I gave this decision or I didn't give this decision for XYZ, because then that removes any sort of benefit of doubt where you go, well, why has that been given or why has that not been given? Certainly, that is one option that, as someone that watches cricket and people that watch rugby, it seems to work very, very well in rugby, and we never really see the level of where players have that level of disrespect towards officials in rugby. So what's the difference there, do you reckon, Martin?
I think there is an option. You said there is an option. There definitely is an option. I'm pretty sure all the headcom sets can be recorded. There's going to be, four people with headcoms on all hearing the same thing. I'm pretty sure they can get recorded. To me, I see no reason whatsoever not to listen to every conversation on open mic at all. I just can't think any reason for it. It's the same with VAR conversations. The commentators, I don't know if you know this, the commentators can hear the conversation between VAR and the referee on Premier League games. Don't know if you know that. Why did they get privy to it? And I think that's why sometimes he's coming out to red here and then he pulls out to red. They know because they are listening to them. There's some protocol involved with it as well. I just can't think of any reason other than the behavior of the players and what they say to referees and sometimes what referees say back. I've been there. I've been in games where you hear referees say things to people, and I think that's the main reason. And I just think it might be too much of a culture shock for someone to realize. I can't say that now because everyone's going to hear it. I can't think any reason not to have open mics right through the game for the referees. I really can't. And I also think that, yeah, they should come out after the game and explain decisions, but don't have it as lambs to slaughter. Treat them like you're the player. When a player misses a penalty, oh, you're unlucky there, you missed a penalty. When a referee gets a penalty wrong, he's a disgrace and he's dropped and should be suspended. So I think the trust level between journalists and referees isn't there because this sort of perception is they're going to throw the referee under the bus. But again, I can't think of any reason. I can't think of reasons, but I might be out of order saying it. But we've got so much transparency with VAR now, then it's right to say it. If you just think of the consequences and people have said it, of like an assessor's report at every level of football that you get assessed at. If that assessor says, oh, that wasn't a red card, and he puts it in writing and it goes to the FA. The clubs don't see that assessment. And because just imagine if that red card lost them their star forwards and they lost the league or to go up to pro level or whatever. I mean, you think the ramifications of someone going, even I, an independent assessor, think you got that wrong. And the consequences for a team is qualifying for the Champions League or going up a division. It's quite a risk, isn't it? And I think that's with this. I think we've said on record, make them up, let everything be open and honest. But the consequences is people are going to take legal action to go, that cost us. Didn't have it. Was it Man United Tottenham? Roy Carroll in goal, was it? Was it Roy Carroll? And they had a lob from the halfway line, didn't it? And it went over the line, but the ref never gave.
Pedro Mendes that scored, Jeff.
Wasn't that they were qualified for the Champions League, that? So in the days of litigation, I think there's a lot of that in it, I really genuinely believe there's a lot of that in it.
I think the other thing that I wanted to kind of bring up is just with regards to the linesman we spoke about earlier from the Andy Robertson case. So he's been obviously told that he's not going to be selected until the investigation is carried out. But one of the things that we see sometimes with match officials, and we've seen that actually with Kevin Clancy, that he's been, for want of a better word, demoted from refereeing this weekend in Scotland and is actually going to be back in VAR. But for me, that's not a consequence for poor performance for me, because he's still going to be refereeing, whether it's at a lower level or involved in VAR, where his level of decision making is still going to be called into question. So I've never really understood why a referee would be demoted from, right, okay, as punishment, you're not getting a Premier League game, but we're going to put you to Bristol Rovers versus Mansfield this weekend. Surely Bristol Rovers and Mansfield have got just as much of a right to a competent referee as Man United or Chelsea do.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. But you know, what do you want to happen soon? Well, what do you think it should happen?
I don't see how you can demote them as a punishment because they're still a game to be played. There's still things that are online, whether it's promotion, whether it's and actually at the lower level, win bonuses are probably even more needed than say at the level of the Premier League, where they're getting 200 grand a week, so that there's less of an impact potentially on a decision going incorrectly. So for me, I think you've got to look at other ways of doing it, whether it's extra training or you get them involved into more sessions during the week or kind of groups where you can go look analyze activities or get them to. I just don't agree with the whole demotion piece. I just don't think it's fair. I don't think it works.
Yeah, I think again it needs addressing. But you know, we've said it before. We get a bit of stick for it. And when someone misses a penalty and you lose 1-0, he doesn't automatically get dropped, does he? And I know if he picks up a stupid yellow card, second yellow card, he doesn't get dropped. So I think we need to balance it. It's a bit more like the bit harsher mass officials, aren't they? And I know we can throw in this. Oh, you've all got VAR now. You can see it 5 times. And I know they were saying that before VAR. It seems like you know a mistake by a match official always seem to be more to have more consequences attached to it than a mistake by a player. I remember a match of the day when Lee Mason, he blew the whistle twice, didn't he? And caused chaos, and you know, he scores. And in the same game, I can't remember the player missed two penalties and he got beat 1-0. The match of the day, all he talked about was Lee Mason blowing his whistle twice and spent 30 seconds talking about the same player missing two penalties. So it's this sort of like imbalance of how much stick the ref gets for the mistake than it does for the player. And I think when that gets realized a bit more, you know, I think we might go further in the player referee relationship. But yeah, if you make a mistake, then and it's a clear mistake, a clear error by a match official, then yeah, there should be some form of consequences. But make sure it's balanced with what the same was happening to a player, which never seems to happen.
One of the questions we've got from our listeners, and we'll finish on this one, Martin, but before we kind of round up the show, do you think there should be more consequences for pundits for their actions and what they're mentioning, whether it's on Sky, Talksport, or BBC, whatever, because they seem to have open rein to criticise without any form of comeback?
100%, absolutely 100%. We said it before. Even people like Keith Hackett, who thinks just because he's done a job in the PGMOL in the past, he can say what he wants about match officials, and that's got credence. They're instigators of abuse. He'll put some out. And don't get me wrong, you know, we wouldn't be where we are today if it wasn't with us having the help of the media, going on Sky, going on Talksport, going on BBC Five Live, all those things. So it's a double-edged sword for us. But you know, this attitude towards referees a fair game, and it's totally desensitized about the abuse to a match official. You can absolutely say what you want about them, and you just get away with it. I think there should be some form of like code of conduct. I'm sure there is some form of code of conduct somewhere, but you know, they put journalists will put a tweet out and an article underneath it, and 6 tweets down is a death threat because of how they framed it or a photograph they put up. So I think everyone's got a responsibility, all the stakeholders in the game, just to realise that sometimes, you know, your passion for your club and your comments when you've got a microphone in front of millions of people on Match of the Day and other programmes, that, you know, you could be causing problems for an individual that you don't need to cause. I think that's very clear.
Perfect. A big thank you, Martin, for joining us here on the Fourth Official. Been very interesting, and it's been great to speak to you.
Likewise, thanks for your time, mate.
Thanks very much.